listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Happy Friday. We are continuing our look at state legislative candidates because here in Iowa, we have the Republicans as well as Democrats and Libertarians, but we're focusing on Republicans, are having their primary on June 5th. So I'm trying to get as many candidates on the podcast as I can, at least candidates who have a contested primary. We've already looked at all the candidates in Iowa Senate District 1. I had a chance to talk with one of the candidates in Iowa House District 26. That'd be Rebel Snodgrass. And today I had a conversation with the other person running in that in Iowa House District 26, Jeff Jansen, who's a local attorney. He's thrown his hat in the ring. But before we get to that my conversation with Jeff, first a word from our sponsors.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a life insurance plan that makes sense for you, call my friend Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. That's Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And I'm back. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Jeff Jansen, Republican candidate in Iowa House District 26. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us and our listeners, and we wanted to hear more about your campaign. A question I always ask every candidate I talk to, regardless of the race they're running in, is why did you decide to run?
Yeah, I decided to run because I want a better Iowa for my children. I have seven children and just want to make sure that policies are implemented that create a better future for them. I was also asked to run by leadership, and they've been asking me for a number of years, so decided to finally pull the trigger and do it.
Okay, House leadership or party leadership?
Both.
Okay. So basically, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your qualifications, and what makes you the best candidate in the race.
Yeah, well, I am an attorney by trade, so I am a partner in a law practice. I practice in family law, civil rights litigation, and then protect individuals' constitutional rights, whether it be First Amendment, freedom of religion, whether it be Second Amendment, gun rights, to protect those or to restore those, free speech rights, et cetera. I'm also a director of a nonprofit that helps children that are in need. It's similar to foster care, but prior to trauma and abuse. And then in law school, I had the privilege to intern for Bobby Kaufman in the Iowa House for a year. I was able to see how the process works there. And then the following year, I interned with one of the top lobbying firms in the state, and then have seen how it works from outside the House and Senate from the lobbyists. And I believe that I would have a good understanding of how the process works and would be able to hit the ground running and not have to do research and not have to collect a bunch of things and spend the first year trying to figure out how I can actually represent the constituents, I'd be able to do that from day one.
Okay. So the legislature just passed and Governor Reynolds just signed the fetal heartbeat abortion ban here in Iowa, which will, you know, obviously it's going to be challenged in court and may even be state courts may even find it unconstitutional. Is that something that you would support? And what are your thoughts on the pending legal challenge?
Yeah, I definitely support the heartbeat bill. I'm part of the pro-life coalition and do pro-life work with the nonprofit. I wanted it to be without exceptions,
right?
But I coined the phrase "baby steps are better than no steps." I think if we're making progress, that's better than nothing. So I'm glad we did pass something, but we were just a few votes short of having a clean bill pass through. In regards to the legal challenge, I don't believe it's unconstitutional. I've looked at the case in South Dakota that was deemed to be unconstitutional, and there was another one in the district, 8th Circuit, that dealt with similar issues. And I think we adequately addressed all those to make sure that it would be a constitutional bill. But I'm willing to see what the court says.
Okay. All right. So also, too, that before we move on to another subject, should Iowa – do you think Iowa should eventually pass a personhood bill? Is that something that you would support?
That is something I would definitely support. I mean, we definitely need to be protecting all life regardless of born or unborn. And, I mean, I think we should even try and get a constitutional amendment of when we determine life to be.
Okay. Sounds great. Also, the legislature just passed a tax reform bill that implements some reduction tax reductions initially, smaller tax reductions. It just drops the corporate tax income rate drop is probably the most significant, from 12% down to 9 point something. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. The tax rate for the individual income tax drops just a little bit. Eventually, if they meet a certain revenue trigger, which is amounts to about 4% revenue growth each year until 2022, that'll drop the rate further down to 6.5%, and then cut basically the 9 brackets down to 4, and then bring in some other tax reforms. Is that a bill you think does that bill go far enough in your mind, or is it just a good start? What would tax reform and tax relief look like if you were to?
Yeah, I think it's a good start. I'm always for tax cuts. I don't believe that we have a taxing issue or a revenue raising issue. I think we have a spending issue with lobbyists and deep pockets up there in providing influence to the legislators. I think there's a lot of pork added to bills, a lot of exceptions. And I think if we can do what's best for Iowans instead of what's best for lobbyists, we can cut a lot of that and therefore have a leaner budget, and we don't need those taxes. So I think if we can get some of that ironed out, we'd be able to go further in the future with additional tax cuts.
Okay. So also wanted to ask, as far as spending, and one thing we're hearing a lot, we're looking at what happened in Kansas as well as teacher strikes in Oklahoma and in West Virginia. The Democrats, you know, constantly say we're not funding K-12 education enough. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we need to make sure we are funding K-12 fully, and that there is the money needed or appropriated correctly as technology changes and the demand for the more global electronic world, that we're providing that to our kids. But I do see that we have one of the highest paid teachers nationally, if you look at it, based off of cost of living and everything. Mm-hmm. And we also have had a significant increase each year over the past few years for funding for education. I think we are doing, we're making steps in the right direction. I think there needs to be some more appropriated, or it needs to be appropriated more effectively. But I think we are going in the right direction, and it's not as bad as Democrats say it is.
Well, yeah, it's when you see education, total including community college and regions, is 50% or 57% of the general fund. It's been anywhere between 50% and 60% of the general fund for years. It's hard to swallow that argument that we're not funding it enough. I mean, some people say it's not keeping up with the cost of living and inflation, and I'm not sure I completely buy that, but I just, like, a question I ask, you know, those who are making that argument is, how much is enough? You know, what does that look like? And I never get an answer for that, it seems like.
I mean, it's never going to be enough for those people who want more and expect everything, and they expect the school to raise their children and do everything for them, and therefore we should throw more money at it. That's not the solution. I mean, some of those issues and some of the money we spend to combat those things, if parents were stepping up and doing their job, doing homework at home and being active parents, I mean, we wouldn't have some of those costs that we have to incur in the K-12 budget in each individual school.
So continuing on with education, the phrase local control of education, what does that mean to you? What would that look like, or what it should it look like?
Yeah, I think local control would be in the school district, in the communities themselves. To me, I think the Department of Education is way doing more than what they should be doing. That's a federal issue, and I know as state legislator, I wouldn't have any say in that. But if we
okay, so you mean the U.S. Department of Education, then, not the
U.S. Department of Education.
Okay.
But if we could get localized control in the school districts, I think that would be great, because if you're closer to the issue, if you're closer to the students and the families that you're serving, you know what the needs are, you know what the issues are, you're more flexible to deal with those, and you know where to appropriate the money correctly. And each school district is going to be different and will have different needs. And if you just do something across the board, in the state or even the nation, it's not going to work for everybody, and you're going to have a lot of duplication, a lot of money in places where it's not working. So getting to that local control is definitely key.
Right. Well, you know, as far as funding is concerned, a lot of people talk about shouldn't school districts look at how much money is going into, you know, the administrative and support staff, because it seems like over the years we've seen that the number of those types of staff roles just explode, where, you know, the number of teachers necessarily haven't. Is that something that you think school districts should, you know, look at?
I think that's definitely something that they should look at. I'm also a proponent of school choice, and have maybe a voucher system. And I think that if people have the access to vouchers and using vouchers, that will help weed out some of that, because those districts will have to become more competitive.
When you say vouchers, do you mean like education savings accounts? Because actually with the Blaine Amendment, we wouldn't necessarily be able to do direct vouchers, where ESA is a little bit different. Because vouchers, my understanding is vouchers go to school districts, or not school districts, private schools, the money directly from the state. Whereas with the education savings account, it goes, you know, at least the bills I've seen, the Iowa Department of Management would set up an account for parents to use then for their child if they're, you know, signed up for that program. So,
yep, like an ESA, or as long as the money's following the child.
Okay.
And then they're able to pick the school that would best meet their needs. And if there's a failing school that is top heavy with administrators, then they could choose to go somewhere else. And I think the competition, as we've seen in the free market that we have here in America, I mean, competition creates innovation and helps bring out the best of the best and gives us the best products and best services. And I think that would be that'd be a good thing for Iowa schools.
So do you think the state should be still with education, looking at state standards? Should state be foisting Common Core on local school districts as well as next generation science standards? Because it seems like we've seen a movement since probably the early 2000s towards centralized academic standards. So we're seeing these top-down standards being kind of foisted on our school districts. Is that something you support or is that something you oppose? Go ahead.
I don't like the top-down standards being opposed on everybody. Common Core has been a failure. I mean, it's been Bill Gates has said it was a failure, and he was the one throwing money behind it. Mm-hmm. And part of the issue with talking to teachers and administrators in the district is that we're teaching Common Core, but then when we do our standardized testing, it's testing on something completely different, and it's hard to tell. I mean, it's hard to match up the two and tell, are we meeting standards? What are we teaching, and are we being effective with it? So, I mean, even if we were to keep Common Core, you have to have some sort of standardized testing that matches it, because right now in the state we don't.
Okay, well, I think, yeah, there's some disagreement as far as whether the Iowa assessments are truly aligned to the Iowa Core or not, but I was happy to see personally that the state legislature passed a bill and Governor Reynolds signed stating that, hey, we want to keep the test development in state. So the Iowa testing program was going to continue to develop, our statewide assessment, which is supposed to be aligned to the Iowa Core. So, yeah, I understand well, I guess my question to you then is, do you think state assessments, statewide assessments, standardized assessments actually help teachers teach as well as raise student achievement?
I think they could be a good indicator for a number of students as to how successful their teaching's going. Not every child learns the same way, and not every child performs the same on tests. But overall, it can be a good indication of, are we getting this knowledge through to the children? So in that circumstance, I think the assessments are needed and are good so that we have some sort of data to judge and make our opinions on as to if it's effective for our students. Are these teachers being effective in teaching? And if you were to have then ESAs, it would give more data for the parents to be able to make educated choices as to if that school is working for their child or not.
Okay. Hey, should parents be allowed to opt their kids out of assessments?
That's a tough one. If they choose to opt out because maybe they know their child doesn't do well on assessments, I think that would be their personal choice. Parents should be the ones controlling the education of their children and would be looking out for the best interest of their child. So if they did that, I think they would be doing it for their child's interest.
Okay. Moving on back to spending a little bit. It's somewhat education related in that I think school districts and local municipalities, counties, cities have benefited from backfill for property taxes when they pass property tax reform, but that's a huge chunk of the state general fund. Is that something that the state legislature should address in the upcoming sessions? Because some states are doing really well, some cities and counties are doing really well when it comes to property taxes. Certainly Dallas County seeing growth. West Des Moines seeing growth? Does the state need to continue to backfill those counties and cities that are seeing growth?
I mean, I think the state would have to apply a standard that's fair to everybody. So if they're backfilling for certain ones, they should for all of them. But some of the funding with that, I mean, I think it goes a little too far. Some of the backfilling for like TIF and things like that that comes from the state general fund, so that the schools won't see a hit on their property taxes, needs to be reined in.
Okay. Want to just talk a little bit about religious liberty. You know, we've seen in the past, thinking of the Gortz House, who had a complaint filed against them because they didn't want to rent out their facilities for a same-sex couple's wedding ceremony. What can the state do? What should the state do to protect religious liberty? And what would you support?
Yeah, I think the state needs to make a stand that we will protect religious liberty, that it is an interest that shouldn't be infringed upon. The courts seem to want to balance different liberties and rights, but I mean, these are liberties that we have, and they can't take them away, and they shouldn't be infringing upon them. I think the court should, or the legislature should, back that and back the back people who have deeply held religious beliefs and allow them to make decisions according to those. And if they're based on their beliefs and not based off of, you know, discriminatory motives or things like that, they should be allowed to do that.
Okay. Last question. Where can people learn more about your campaign? And is there anything that we haven't talked about today you want our listeners to know about?
Yeah, you can find more about the campaign at jansenforia.com, JANSSENFORIA.com, or on Facebook and Twitter, it's Jansen for Iowa, Jansen, the number 4, Iowa spelled out. And I would love to have you reach out to me, get in contact, ask me questions. I could meet up with you. We could have coffee or lunch and sit down and talk about the various issues. And if you want to get involved in the campaign, you can reach out to me there as well.
Great. Well, hey, and just last chance, is there anything with your platform or anything you'd like to focus on? And if you were elected that maybe we didn't talk about, you want our listeners to know?
Yeah, I just want to, if I'm elected, I just want to bring common sense reform and bills through. It doesn't matter if a constituent is Democrat, Republican, if you have a good idea, I think it's our responsibility as your representative to run forward with that. So it doesn't matter who you are or what background you have. I think we need to be working across party lines to pass common sense bills that help our constituents. So that's one thing that I'm running on and focusing on, and I'm just trying to strengthen Iowa instead of further divide it.
All right. Well, hey, Jeff, thank you so much for your time, and good luck to you in the upcoming primary, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. And that concludes today's episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you happen to be listening to this podcast somewhere other than on our website, please be sure to check out caffeinatedthoughts.com. Again, that's caffeinatedthoughts.com. Or Google us at Caffeinated Thoughts, and it will show up at the top of your search screen. Also, be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. When you go to the website, you can also sign up for email updates. That way you don't miss a single article from us. We write a lot. We don't just podcast, but we blog too. And we'd love for you to be regular readers of our website. So, hey, this is Shane Vanderhart. Until next time, my friends, take care and have a great weekend. Bye, everybody.